Hello there. My name is Gillian Roosh. Normally, you'd be listening to Reverend Shelley McVie during our podcasts, but this week, I'm blessed to have been asked to speak to you instead for this week on our second Sunday in Lent. This sermon is based on the gospel reading of February 28th, 2021, Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. I pray to you, Lord, that these words that I say are pleasing to you, and that for those that are listening, that they feel your love and come to know you in their lives every moment of every day. Amen. Today's gospel reading is from Mark, the shortest of the gospels. Someone described to me once that Mark is like the breaking news, sort of like the 680 news burst that we get today. It gives us the headlines, short and sweet. Matthew's like the evening paper that we get with more information, but yet there's still more to talk about, and Luke fills that in like the Saturday paper. However, John writes from a very different perspective, and that's like an editorial. The gospel reading today can be found in three of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. For those that are interested, these three gospels are known as the synoptic gospels because they share many of the same stories and very often in the same order, and many using the exact same words. There are some differences, and we see that in this reading this morning, where Matthew expands on what we read in Mark and Luke. That when Peter answers Jesus when asked who he thinks he is, he answers rightly that Jesus is the Messiah. But Jesus then goes on to tell Peter that this answer is not from him, but from God, and that upon Peter, he is the rock that the church will be built upon. Today, we are going to spend some time talking about Jesus rebuking Peter. We're going to talk about what that might have looked like for Peter and for Jesus, how easy it might be for us to let Satan get in the way of God's love for us, and what practical things we can do to stave off this and really know God and sit in awe of what Jesus did for us, especially during this Lenten period of reflection. When I was praying about writing this sermon, I read the gospel selection over and over again. I don't know how you like to read scripture, but sometimes for me, I see the story unfolding as to how it might have looked as if I was there or watching a movie. I know I'm a visual learner, but I also learn through about the world through feelings. And in preparation for this sermon, the emotions of verses 31 to 33 stood out for me, both from Jesus's and Peter's possible perspectives. If you could indulge me, let's try to imagine what this scene might have looked like. Imagine that you're there walking with the disciples. It's hot and you've been traveling together through towns and you've been a witness to Jesus's miracles. Jesus, this man who you believe to be the person who has come to save you from the chaotic world as you know it, asks you all as a group, who do we think he is? What things might be going through your mind? I know for me, it would be things like, is he asking me for real? Is this a trick question? I know who I think he is, so why is he asking me? But then in the next verse, after Peter answers for our group that he's the Messiah, Jesus says not to tell anyone this most amazing fact that I just learned. As the Israelites have been waiting for many, many years for this news to keep it to themselves, it must have been so conflicting. You would want to tell everyone, shout it all along your journey as you walk through the countryside. But then, from your moment of confusion, Jesus sits you all down and begins to share with you the reason why you can't share it. And you're even more confused and conflicted. Everything in you wants to shout, no, this can't be happening. That can't happen to you, Jesus. You are all there stunned. And Peter then pulls Jesus aside and says maybe what the other disciples thought as well and starts to rebuke him. Chapter 16, verses 22 says that Peter told Jesus, God forbid it, Lord, this could never happen to you. The word rebuke is such a strong word. The dictionary says that to rebuke is to express sharp disapproval. In our reading, Jesus only allows Peter to start to do this. And then he looked at the other disciples, and then he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan. Prior to this week, I know that I've read these words in verse 33 before. I've heard them spoken. But this week, my soul heard them when I was praying about writing today's sermon. Given all that we are experiencing coming upon the year anniversary of our new way of living, I was taken aback by Jesus's sentiment. He was so frustrated of people not hearing his message and knowing who he was or understanding him, being truly the living Lord. And he was able to understand, too, how Satan used Peter to try to dissuade Jesus' mission for us. I'm aware that Jesus goes on to speak to the disciples after this about how we come to God in verse 35. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. But I wondered this week about these words, "Get behind me, Satan," and that it might be something we should be contemplating. I wanted to contemplate how easy it would be to let Satan get in the way of God's work here through us, especially given what we've been thinking about during our Bible study on Ephesians. As we have been in lockdown, many people have been looking to God to try to understand some of the suffering that has been happening in COVID. This includes the little people in our life. My son Ollie questions me about suffering all the time and how God fits into that piece of our humanity. I've explained that this is something that people have been trying to figure out for centuries, and I can only give him a small answer, and that sometimes it's something we can't comprehend, but that God has a bigger vantage point on the world, and that we need to have faith in that perspective. I know this explanation isn't one that suffices him, and sometimes it doesn't for me either, when I'm feeling the effects of this earthly world. Jesus tells Peter in verse 33, "You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on earthly things." Even Peter, a disciple favored by Jesus, someone who knew Jesus personally, who was standing in front of him, having witnessed his miracles firsthand, and having just spoken the truth from God that Jesus was the Messiah, could also not truly see God's vantage point and the bigger picture that Jesus is bringing to earth. Jesus recognizes this right away, rebuking Peter back and says, "Get behind me, Satan," adding, "You are a stumbling block." He's essentially saying, as stated in the message, "Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works." I then wondered this week, how can I understand if Peter can't? For me, this week, I felt the sting of Jesus's words. I believe that sometimes, also, I don't know how God works, just like Peter, and I also get in the way of God's work here on earth. I wanted to ask those who are listening to ask themselves if that's something they ever feel too. Do you ever feel like you get in the way of God's work sometimes too? In our Bible study, we've challenged ourselves to be more intentional with our time, look at our relationships, and ask if how we live our lives are getting in the way of God or working for God. And sometimes we have to remember to just take time and look at the awesomeness of God, what Jesus came to do on the cross for us, and how this all plays into our everyday lives. Jesus could certainly look at me sometimes and rebuke me by looking into my life and telling Satan to get behind him. I recognize that spiritual warfare is something that is a whole other topic for a sermon and really a whole study. But I do want to acknowledge that it is easy to let Satan into our lives here in our secular life in Toronto. We often make the mistake of getting distracted by the shiny things in our lives, our screens, our possessions, our money, work, etc. We allow ourselves not to spend as much time building our relationship with God as those in a more religious society. Some of us listening here have spiritual discipline and walk through devotions every day, really feeding our Christian community through letters, conversation, or text, or listening to Christian music, which was something we also spoke about in our Bible study. But I would wonder if we took stock of how much time we do these spiritual practices versus all the other things in our lives, would it be as much as we think it is? Would we be surprised at the time comparison? So what can we do to build up against letting all of this happen? By building our spiritual practices, this is something most of us have to do more of. We would start to understand more about who God is, what Jesus did for us. And although we would never truly understand the view from God's vantage point, we would maybe have more faith that sometimes we just won't understand. But if we follow Jesus's teaching, especially in the next verses from our reading today, we will have a better chance of understanding what God wants from us. Jesus tells his disciples, and through scripture as well, that we have to lose our lives in order to save them. We have to be willing to look past all of the shiny objects in our lives, to ask ourselves each day, are we trying to live the way God's asked us to? Are we using the gifts he has given us to further his mission? We have to not be complacent in our lives as we are today. And even though sometimes whatever we're going through feels insurmountable, lean into Jesus, lean into his love for us. And I truly have faith that when we do those things, we get glimpses of what God's plan is for us. He knows that plan already. And if we use the spiritual armor that God gave us, we can fight for that plan to come into existence and be less rebuked by Jesus in the process. He loves us. And as we are quieter in this Lenten season, let us reflect on how we strengthen that armor. Use your Christian community around you, because God gave us that community to help us all do this together. We don't have to do this by ourselves. As we move into our vestry meeting, let us keep all of this in our minds. We are coming together as a community to build God's kingdom, using his resources and each other to accomplish his mission. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Proclamation, the podcast that features the sermons of the Reverend Shelley McVie of St. Saviour's Church.